Give Us This Day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Monday of the seventh Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9.
There were present at that season some that told him of the Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down.
In a dizzying succession, Jesus touches upon some of the most important truths of the cosmos in verses 1 through 5. Things happen, bad things. They happen to all of us, but not necessarily with a one-to-one correspondence to how good or bad we've been. His words seem strangely reassuring at first. They seem to say that when natural catastrophes happen, it is not necessarily because God is judging us. This is true. But then he discomforts all of us by saying that in spite of this comforting thought, if we do not repent and turn from our sins, then we will perish. The tenuousness of our lives is exposed. In reality, the words fall upon me like a 16-ton weight, and I begin to protest, saying, Lord, you know that I love you. Surely you do not intend to rebuke me and threaten me with hellfire. In fact, as a Christian who does repent on a daily basis, though far from perfectly, I wonder what this might mean to me today. This happens to me a lot when reading the Bible, especially when reading the Psalms and somebody is trying to kill David. So I ask myself, am I to remind myself once again from this passage that God does in fact condemn sinful men to hell? Perhaps, for this is certainly true. But knowing my heart, Jesus comes to me again, this time with a parable that I can identify more easily with, this time with the hope of grace for a penitent sinner. From the parable, as well as from the rest of Scripture, we discover that God really likes trees. The Garden of Eden, after all, came down to a matter of trees, and the very first psalm likens the two ways of life to the life of trees. God has made you a tree, and he has planted you in his garden once again, just as in the beginning. He has loved you, and he has given you a place on his earth, but as in the Garden of Eden, he has certain rules or expectations. Because he has made you a tree, he expects you to act like a tree. You might ask yourself, well, if I'm a tree, what kind of tree am I? To which God might say, I have made you a human tree, and if you are my disciple, I have made you a Christian tree. As fig trees were created to make more figs, so human trees are created to make more humans, and Christian trees are created to make more Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ. The problem is that sometimes we don't bear fruit like we should, and the reason is clear. We haven't been nourished the way we should. If you plant a fig tree, but a tree is planted only in sand, with no water and other nutrients, and is left to its own devices, it will not live very well and will not bear fruit. If that tree was created and planted for the specific purpose of bearing fruit, and the tree refuses to bear fruit, then it is fit only to be cut down. Like that fig tree, but much more like that fig tree, we do not bear fruit because we do not do the things that lead to life, a life that yields fruit. You know about yourself what I know about myself. God has planted you and wants you to bear fruit that glorifies him. And you know as I know that when you are barren and dry, it is not because you are not really a tree of life, or that God has not offered you all that you need to grow, it is because you have refused his good gifts. Hasn't God been looking for your fruit for 3 years or more, as the fig tree in the parable? And haven't some of us heard the voice of God for 3 years, and yet been barren as the fig tree in the parable? Haven't you wondered day after day why you remain so thirsty and hungry, why you go to bed each night unfulfilled? We know where to find the food that will sustain us, and yet spiritual anorexics as we are, we will not eat. Are we in the church? I don't just mean going to church, as in going through the motions, but in the life of the church, which is the body of Christ. Are we fed each day by prayer and the word, as we keep vowing we will? I thank God that he has not left me to my own devices, but has instead placed me in a garden of living trees. For every Christian, every member of the body of Jesus Christ, is meant not only to be a tree of life, but also a gardener who helps others to live. In the figurative year that the Master Gardener has given us in this parable to repent, it is time to turn to your daily bread.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.